Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Vav. We left off Daf Hey Amud Beis is a little bit more than halfway down the Amud, but it was a very, very short Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Alea Shalom. It is also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzlacha for our soldiers and captives. We thank both sponsors very much for their continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So yesterday we saw the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya, right? So we had the Mishnah which said that there were four of us Nezikin. Then we saw the Braisa of Rabbi Yoshia which had said that there are 13 of us Nezikin. Yesterday we saw the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya who said that there were 24 of us Nezikin. And we had explained why Rav Hoshea doesn't list the various things that Rabbi Chiya lists, why Rabbi Chiya lists everything that he does list, etc. And then we finally concluded the shir yesterday by saying, well, it says that there were 24 avos nezikin. So from the fact that there were 24 avos, it's mechlal that there were toldos. And we said, no, not really that there were toldos. There are an additional subcategories, but it means that you have to pay me metav. Anytime you do damage, you're going to have to pay me metav, just like from the primary sources of nezikin, which we have in our Mishnah, we see that you have to pay mimetav. We then got into a conversation of like, why if we say like shor, why do we then talk about Karen, Shane, stuff like that? Now we're going to say, and then we concluded the shir yesterday by saying, oh, the reason that we speak about all those things is lehilchos seyin, to teach us the particular halachos that apply to certain categories of hezek that are mentioned in the brisa of Rav Chiya, but don't apply to other things on the list. And we're going to start today, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of Hayim and Bays. Karen is the third to last word on the line. That's where we're going to start, which is going to talk about the various halachos that apply to certain of the forms of hezek, but not to other forms of hezek. The Gemara then on Vav Amud Aleph is going to talk about the Tzad HaShavez, which are mentioned in the Mishnah. So our Mishnah was a very unique Mishnah, as you may recall. We're going to go back to it when we start this Gemara. But the Mishnah was talking about the Tzad HaShavez between the Arba Avos Nezikin, and we're going to try to figure out what exactly is being included, what exactly is being excluded by the Tzad HaShavez, and also what we learn from the Tzad HaShavez. Because whenever we have a list of four and we say, oh, these things are alike in certain respects and they're dissimilar in other respects, so the fact that they're alike in certain respects, what's that supposed to teach me? It's not supposed to teach me the four basic categories, because the four basic categories are written expressly in the Mishnah. So the Tzad HaShavez is going to have to teach me something different and new. Our Gemara is going to focus primarily on, there are going to be four different suggestions on what exactly we learn from the Tzad HaShavez. And then on Vav Amud Beis, we are going to get to a fundamental machlokes of when we say mimetav, when we say that the damager has to pay mimetav sadeyu, whose sadeh are we talking about? Are we saying mimetav sadeyu shel hamazik or mimetav sadeyu shel hanizik? And that is the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, and that is going to take us to the bottom of Vav Amud Beis and well into tomorrow's daf as well. Okay, so we left off yesterday, Hayim Abayz. We're seven lines up from the bottom. Third to last word on the line is Karen. So the reason that we write Karen is L'chalek Bein Tamen L'Mu'edes. The Chiddush in Karen is that there's a chiluk between, there's a differentiation between a Shor Tam and a Shor Mu'ed. Unlike by the other forms of damage, this first time the ox damages somebody else's property by trampling on it or by eating it, the owner is going to be chayav nezek shalem. By Karen, if the ox gores another ox, then the second time, the third time the ox does that, the owner of the ox is only going to be chayav to pay chatzi nezek. It's not until the fourth time that the owner is going to be chayav to pay nezek shalem. So that's a separate halacha. That's a special halacha. The halacha of the chiluk between a tam and a muad applies only to Karen and not to the other forms of hezek. Shane v'regel says, the Gemara lepotrim b'rishos harabim. It's the pater, Shane and regel, from Rishos HaRabim, that if, in other words, if the ox causes damage by trampling on something or by eating something that belongs to somebody else in Rishus HaRabim, the owner is not going to be chayiv. Why not? So Rashi points out, because the pasuk that talks about the damage that the ox does says, Uvir b'stei acher, that it does its damage in the sadeh of somebody else. So it only is chayiv if it does its damage in another Rishus HaYachid. It's not going to be chayiv if it does its damage in a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, bar liftar boas a kalim. Bar comes to pater the kalim, meaning that the only time the bala bar, the person who dug the bar, is going to be chayiv is if an ox is walking down the road. If an animal is walking down the road and falls into the bar, then the owner of the bar is going to be chayiv for the damage caused to the animal. If, however, somebody's metaltalin, somebody's kalim, somebody's utensils are damaged, then you're not going to be chayiv for the damage that it causes to Kalim. Adam lechayvo ba'arba dvarim. Adam is to be mechayev him in Rabbi. I'm sorry, I skipped. Rabbi Yehuda the mechayev on niske Kalim. What about Rabbi Yehuda, who says that by bar you're chayev on niske Kalim? So bar can't come to exclude Kalim, because Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayev for damage caused to Kalim in a bar. So he says b'bar liftar ba'asa Adam. That yeah, but you're not chayev if a person falls into the pit. The Gemara darshan is that you're chayiv only for damage caused to a shor and not the damage caused to an adam. The reason is because we assume that when a person is walking in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, the person is looking like this because he's upright, he's looking ahead of him, and therefore he's able to see any imperfection in the road. So he should have seen the bar, he should have known to steer clear of the bar. Whereas a shor, the head of the shor, the eyes of the shor are looking downward, so it doesn't have that perspective. It doesn't have the ability to look in front of it, and therefore you are going to be liable if the shor falls into a pit. Okay, Adam, what's the chiddush of Adam? What's the defining characteristic of Adam? It's l'chayiv b'arba dvarim. It's l'chayiv in arba dvarim. Not only are you chayiv in nezek, but you're also chayiv in sar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. Eish, lifter boas atamun. The interesting characteristic or the unique characteristic of fire is that you're chayiv only for damage caused to that which is revealed, not for damage caused to that which is hidden. And the Rashi points out the reason for this is because the psukim that talk about Eish, it talks about oakama, that the Eish is destroying standing produce. And the Gemara later on in the Masechta on Daf Samach is going to be Bendayek, that just like Kama is Begolui, so too anything that's Goli. In other words, just like whatever produce is in the field is visible because it's there, it's out in the open, it's in the field, so too you're going to be obligated on a fire, you're going to be Chayiv for damage caused by a fire, only for damage, that is caused of something which is revealed, not for something which is hidden. So if you have something hidden away, if you have something hidden away in the field, you're not going to be chayiv if the fire damages that thing. Rav Yehuda the mechayiv al niskei tamen. What about the sheet of Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda seems to be always more strict. So by bar he's chayiv, he's mechayiv you in kalim. By eish he's mechayiv you in tamen. So be'eish la'suyei ma'isav. What does that come to include? La'suyei lichanero v'sichzcha abanav. It comes to include damage caused by the fire licking at the ground and scorching rocks. And Rashi points out that even though, ordinarily speaking, the solid earth and rocks are not things that are ordinarily damaged by fire, so I might think that you should only be chayiv for that which is ordinarily damaged by fire, like produce. If you light a pile of wheat, obviously it's going to go up in flames. Kamash Malan, the chiddush is that by Eish, you're chayiv not only for those things which are naturally occur, but even things which do not generally occur. You're chayiv even for the damage, even for the singeing that the fire causes to the rocks and to the solid earth. Okay, so now the Mishnah said, Atzara Shava Shabahem. So the Mishnah, if we flip back to Beis Amid Aleph very quickly, the Mishnah listed the four Avos Nezikin, and then it said that Shar is not like Mave, and Mave is not like Shar, and these are thee, because both of them have a Ruach Chaim, and both of those, rather, both the Mave and the Shar, which have a Ruach Chaim, aren't like the fire. The fire doesn't have a Ruach Chaim. Fire is not an animate object, it's an inanimate object, and also a Shar is and a mave, especially if you assume that a mave shein, it's dark and lelech lahazik, and the shor and the eisha are also, the fire also moves because it's blown by the wind. They're not like the pit because the pit doesn't move. It's stationary. And then the Mishnah said, Atzada Shava Shabahem, the Tzada Shava between all of these things, because some of them move, some of them don't move. Some of them have a Ruach Chaim, some of them don't have a Ruach Chaim. Shedarkan Lahazik, the Tzada Shava, the Mishnah had said, was that it's their derech to do damage, Ushmi Rasan Alecha, and you are obligated to watch them, Ukshehizik Chavamazik, and when they do damage, you are obligated to pay from Meitav Aretz. That's what our Mishnah said. So the Tzada Shava, the common characteristic, the common thread between the four things mentioned in the Mishnah, is that they're prone to do damage, and you have to watch them. Says the Gemara, Hatzada Shava Shavem Lasuye Mai. What does that come to include? In other words, the Tzada Shava has to come to include something. Otherwise, the Mishnah wouldn't waste its time by telling me that there's a common characteristic that all four of us Nazikin share. It's obviously not to teach me that the four of us then I'm chayef for the four of us Nazikin, because that was said expressly in the Mishnah. So it's got to be including something else. So what does this come to include? Four-way machlokas. Well, we'll see. It might not really be a machlokas according to the Rush. It might be sort of a different categories of things that you might be chayef for. But let's see what these are. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Lasuyi Avno Sakino Maso Shanicha Barosh Agag V'naflu Beruach Metsuya Ve'eziko. It comes to include a situation, we already saw the situation a couple of days ago, where a person places a rock that he's carrying or a knife or a package on the edge of a roof, and there is a common wind, not an unusually strong wind, it doesn't have to be a hurricane force wind, but a common wind comes and pushes the item off, and it damages somebody down below. So says the Gemara, that is maybe what the Tzada Shava comes to include. So says the Gemara, really? Hechidami, iba hadedika azli kamazki. If the fact pattern is that somebody is walking on the side of the building, somebody is walking down the street, somebody else had left a rock, or somebody else had left a knife up on the roof, a regular wind comes and blows the thing down, and while the object is moving, while the knife is falling from the roof, and the person is walking on the sidewalk underneath that roof, the knife comes and stabs the person and causes him damage. If that's the situation, so says the Gemara, Hainu Eish. That is like the situation of fire. Just like fire is an agent which damages, it starts in a certain place, it moves to another place, and it causes damage while it's moving. So too, this rock or this knife, which was on the roof, it's capable of doing damage. It's on the move, and it damages somebody while it's on the move. So that's like fire. But says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, right. Just like Eish, where there's another koach mixed in with it. The other koach is the wind, because without wind, the fire doesn't go anywhere. So there's another koach mixed in with it, the wind, and it's your money, because it started on your property. And therefore, you have to guard it. So to over here, by the knife which falls off the roof, there's another koach, because the fact pattern is, the situation is, that the knife falls off the roof because there's a wind that comes and blows the knife. Umamoncha, and it's your property, you own it. Ushmi raso alecha, and you have to watch it. So says the Gemara, it cannot be that the fact pattern is, the hypothetical is, where the knife damages a person while it's on the move, because if it would, that's Eish, and we already know Eish expressly, so we wouldn't need to learn this through a Tzada Shava. Says the Gemara Elamai, what's the fact pattern then? Vela Basar Denaichi, it's after the knife or after the rock fell onto the ground, then somebody comes and stumbles on the rock or stumbles on the knife and damages himself. Idaf Karinu, if the owner of the knife or the owner of the rock was mafkir, the item in the middle of the street, then Bain Larav, Bain Lishmuel, Ainu Bar. Then Bain Larav, Bain Lishmuel, anything that your mafkir and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has it in a bar. And if it has it in a bar, I don't need to learn it out from a Tzada Shava because I already learned bar explicitly in the Mishnah. Maishna bar, but why would it be like bar? Shekein tchilas asiyasa l'nezek, because from its inception it was created with the potential of doing damage, just like a knife, obviously, or something which you're going to leave on a roof. Umamoncha, and it is your money, ushmi raso alecha, and you have to watch it. Haninami, tchilas anasiyan lenezek. They were initially created for nezek. In other words, even though a package isn't inherently dangerous, when you place a package at the edge of the roof where a regular wind can come and push it off, then obviously it becomes inherently dangerous. Just like a pit isn't inherently dangerous, but if you dig it in Rosh HaSarabim, then it's inherently dangerous. So both of these things, from their inception, from their creation, they're dangerous. Umamoncha, and they're your money. You own these items, and you're obligated to watch it. So it can't be talking about a situation where you are mafker the item, because then it would be like a bar. Ella de lo afkarenu. So we're talking about a case where your knife or your stone or your package fell into Rosh HaSarabim, was laying there on the ground, then damaged somebody, and you weren't mafkarit. Says the Gemara, Lishmuel, diamar kulam ibaro lamanu ainu bar. But according to Shmuel, who says that anything which is in Rosh HaSarabim, whether you were mafkarit or not, has a din of bar, this thing would also have a din of bar, in which case I wouldn't need to learn it out from a tzad hashaveh, because we already learned bar expressly in the Mishnah. But according to Rav, who learns this halacha from who says that something which you are not mafkir, which is in Rosh HaSarabim, is not like bar, maybe this is what you would learn from the tzad hashaveh, but we're going to try to figure out something that is acceptable both to Rav and to Shmuel. Again, according to Rav, who says that something which is in Rosh HaSarabim, which you're not mafkir, which has not been declared hefkir, isn't like a bar, this is what we could learn from the tzad hashaveh. But according to Shmuel, who says that something which is in Rosh HaSarabim, even if you have not been mafkir, it's still like a bar, he can't learn this through a tzad hashaveh, because this is the basic case of bar. Says the Gemara, liyolam dafkarinu. No, we're talking about a situation where you were mafkirit, below damilabar, but it's still not like a bar. Why? Malabar shakain ain koach achar murabo, tamarbani shakoach achar muraban. Well, because it's not exactly like a bar, because by a bar there is no koach achar murabo. In other words, the bar doesn't rely on the wind to do damage. The bar does damage just by being there. This thing does damage only because there's a koach acher muravam, only because there's a koach acher, because there is a koach acher. The Rashba points out, well, actually, let's just hold that thought for a second. So eish tokiach, but the eish should be mochiach, because by eish there is a koach acher. Mala eish shekein darko leila chulahazik. But what about Eish, that its derech is to go places, is to be on the move, unlike our situation where, again, we had said that we're not talking about a case where the item did damage while it was moving. It did damage while it was already stationary. So it's not like a fire, because a fire does damage when it's on the move. These things, they're doing damage even when they're stationary in Rosh HaSarabim, and therefore we say bar tochiach. So the bar should be mechiach. V'chazor adin, and chazor adin, lo rizeh, v'lo rizeh kerizeh. And therefore, what we learn from the tzad hashaveh between bar and eish is that you're chayev for the objects which you place at the edge of the roof, which fell down because of a ruach metzuya, were stationary in the ground, you were mafkarit, but it did damage at that point. It's not exactly like bar, it's not exactly like eish. We learn it from the common characteristics. So the Rashba just points out that this idea of koach acher mu'urav bo is a funny concept, because by eish, we use koach acher mu'urav bo as a siba to be mechayiv you, whereas over here in the Gemara, we were saying, oh, maybe these objects which fell into the Rosh HaSarabim aren't quite like bar, because by a bar, there is no koach acher. Over here, there is a koach acher, meaning that because there's a koach acher and because they only found themselves in the middle of the Rosh HaSarabim because a wind blew, I might think maybe that's a reason to potter him, even though by Eish, where there's obviously a koach acher, we never have a hava mina to potter. Right, so the Rashba says you have to work it out, that depending on when it suits the Gemara, sometimes koach acher murav bem is a reason to be mechayiv. Sometimes koach acher murav bem is a reason to potter. To me, this is reminiscent of what we saw a couple of days ago in Tosfos. That is the fact that something is that is the fact that the animal gets hana, or is the fact that the animal is prone to be mazik, is that a reason to exempt you, or is that a reason that you should have watched it even more stringently? You should have watched it even more carefully. Okay, so the first possibility is a bias possibility that what we learned from the Tzadav Shabbat and the Mishnah is that if you have a package that was on the side of the roof that fell down, did damage while it was sitting in Rishos HaRabim, that is what is included from the Tzadav Shabbat of Bar and Eish. Next suggestion. Rav Amar La Suye Bara Mizgalgel Baragle Adam Uvaragle Behema comes to include a Bara Mizgalgel through the feet of a person or through the feet of a behema. How exactly can a bar roll? So Rashi says we're not actually talking about a bar. We're talking about somebody left a stone in Rishos HaRabim. But unlike the prior case where the stone was where it was and somebody came and tripped over the stone and was damaged, I leave a stone in Rishos HaRabim over here. There's a ton of foot traffic during the day, so some animal kicks the stone 50 yards down the road. Where now, 50 yards down the road, while the stone is still there, some animal comes and trips over the stone and is damaged. So that's a case of Bar HaMizgalgel, says Rashi. Say Chidami, but again, what exactly is the situation here? Edaf Karenu, if you were mafkir this stone, then Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Shmuel, Hainu Bar. Then both according to Rav and Shmuel, that's the situation of Bar, and we learn that expressly in the Mishnah. I don't have to learn this from Etzad HaShaveh. Says the Gemara, Maishna Bar, Shakein Tchilas Asiyasa Lenezek, Ushmirasu Alecha, just like by Bar, from its inception, it's created to do damage, and you're obligated to watch it. Haninami Tchilas Asiyasa Lenezek, Ushmirasu Alecha. So too, this obstacle, which you're placing in Rishos HaRabim, is liable to do damage from the beginning. From its inception, it's created to do damage, and you have to watch it. Ella delo afkarenu. No, we're talking about a situation where your rock fell in Rishos HaRabim, or you placed your rock in Rishos HaRabim, some animal kicked it 50 yards down the road, or however far down the road, and then somebody else was damaged then, and you weren't mafkarit. Then the Gemara says still, L'Shmuel, D'yamar kulam ibor lamanu, hainu bar. Remember, Shmuel is the one who said that even if you're not mafkarit, it's still like a bar. So if it's like a bar, I don't have to learn it from Etzad HaShaveh. So says the Gemara, so even though Rav could learn it out from Etzad HaShaveh, still we want that Etzad HaShaveh should be applicable both to Rav and to Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Liolam dafkarinu. No, really, you were mafkir, the stone. Below dummy labar, but it's still not considered to be like a bar. It's still not exactly like a bar. Why? Ma labar shekein maas of garmulo. Tomar ba'ani shein maas of garmulo. So unlike by a bar, where his maisa causes the damage, meaning his digging the bar causes the damage, over here in our situation, his placing the stone in Rishos HaRabim doesn't cause the damage, because the animal wasn't damaged in the place where the owner of the stone put the stone. The stone was kicked 50 yards down the road by another animal or by a person, and in its new resting place, that's where it damaged. That's where it did its damage. So there was some other force that intervened, that interceded, and therefore it's not exactly like a bar. But then the Gemara says, well, shor yochiach, but a shor shall be mochiach, because by a shor yochiach, by a shor, the maisa of the master doesn't contribute to the shor doing damage. The shor on its own volition just walks into somebody else's field and tramples it, or eats somebody else's field, or gores somebody else's ox. Says the Gemara, Maila shor shekein darko leila chalahazik. But what about a shor? The shor naturally is on the move. This rock, which is in Rishos HaRabim, isn't naturally on the move. You would assume that if you see a rock in Rishos HaRabim, the base case is that it remains where it is, not that it's going to get kicked down the road. So bar tochiach, no, but a bar also doesn't move, yet you're still chayiv. V'chazer adin, lo rizeh, karizeh, so we go with a tzad HaShaveh between shor and bar to teach me that I'm chayiv also for a bar HaMizgalgel. That's the second opinion. So first we had Abaye with the thing falling down from the roof and damaging once it is resting in Rishos HaRabim. Now we have Rava with the Bar HaMizgalgel, the stone which was placed and then kicked somewhere else and does damage in its new resting place. Next opinion, Ravada Barahava says, La Suye Hadatanya, it's to include the following, Kol Elu Sha'amru, all of these people where they said poskin bibosayim, that they're allowed to open their sewer pipes for garfin morosayim, and they're allowed to shovel out their septic tanks. And Rashi points out that there were certain people who were given permission essentially to expel their property, which causes damage, into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Obviously, they didn't have a sophisticated sewer system in the times of the Gemara, so they had a septic pit. So what would you do? Every so often, you would have to clean out your septic pit, or you would have to allow the water from your gutters to go someplace. So what would you do? So there were times, periodically, when the Chachamim would give you permission, Beis Din would give you permission to put your stuff, either clean out the zevel in your septic tank, or take out the rainwater that had accumulated in your gutter, and just put it out in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And that obviously could cause damage, yet you were putting it out there with permission. So back in the Gemara, so all of these people who said that sometimes you're allowed to put this stuff in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, b'mosachama ein lam rishos, b'mosachshamam yesh ein lam rishos. It's only in the winter, not in the summer. Why Rashi points out? Because in the winter, in Eretz Yisrael, is the rainy season. So the roads were all muddy and gross anyway. So it doesn't matter if there's mud in the road, you're going to put more water in the road. Or if there's mud in the road, you're going to put the septic tank in it. I mean, it's pretty gross, but okay. But the Gemara said, in the winter, you're still allowed to put your septic tank in the road. But in the summer, when it's not rainy and when the roads are clean and nice, you're not going to be able to empty your septic tank and put it in the road, or take your rainwater and put it in the road. So so says the Gemara that Aval Pisha Bershus, even though in the winter the owner had permission to put this stuff in the Bershus Arabim, Imiziko Chayavim L'Shalim. Still, if they cause damage, you're going to be Chayav to pay for the damage. Says the Gemara, Berechidami, what type of damage are we talking about? Maski, if while the rainwater is being sent into Bershus Arabim, somebody comes by and the rainwater splatters on his silk coat, or if the zevel gets on something, and if the excrement gets on something and damages it, then kocho, then of course you're going to be chai, because like as you're literally shoveling out the zevel, it's going on something else. That's your koach, and you're chai for damage caused by your koach. Ela basar denayich. Now we're talking about a situation where the zevel is stam sitting there, or the rainwater is sitting there, and then then somebody gets damaged. But says the Gemara, hey chadami. But again, what situation are we talking about? Idaf karinu, if you were mafkarit once it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then bein l'rab bein l'shmuel hainu bar. Then according to Rav and Shmuel, it's a situation of bar. Maishna bar did chilas asiyos ala nezek, umamon chashmiros alecha. Just like my bar was initially made for nezek, it is yours. You have to watch it. Haninami, tchilas anasiyin lanezek. They are inherently dangerous. In other words, they're not dangerous in their natural state, but when you put them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, they are dangerous. Umamoncha, and it's your property. Yishmiras analecha, and you're obligated to watch it. Ela delafkarina. No, we're talking about a case where you weren't mafkarit. But again, we come back to the same conversation over and over. The Shmuel diamar kolami bar lamanu hainu bar. Shmuel is the one who says that even if you were not mafkar the item in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it still has halacha of bar. So this is bar itself. Yeah, I don't need to learn this from a tzara shave. Says the Gemara, Liolam Dafkarinu, really you were mafkarit in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, velo dami labar. And it's not like a bar. Why not? Ma labar shakein shalo brishus. Because by a bar, you did it shalo bershus. Tomar bahani de bershus. So these are different because the Beis Din, remember, gave you permission to put this stuff into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it's not exactly like a pit. Says Tosfos, how do you know that you didn't have rishus to dig the bar? Maybe they gave you rishus to dig the bar. So the Tosfos says, yeah, they might have given you rishus to dig the bar, but they didn't give you rishus to leave the bar in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Tomar Bani de rishus, and that, are you going to say the same thing that these are with permission? So the Gemara says Shor Yochiach. No, but the Shor comes to teach me because the Shor is not with permission. The Shor is also with permission, yet you're going to be chayiv. Tosfos is bothered by that because, again, when we say Shor, there was a machlokas whether Shor means Karen or Shor means Regel. So if Shor means Karen, then clearly you don't have permission to have your Shor go around goring other oxen in public. But if Shor means Regel, then yeah, your ox has permission to go in public. So what does it mean, Shor Yochiach, that even though you have permission, you're gonna be chayev by Regel? You're only chayev in Rishus HaNizik, says Tosfos. You're not chayev for Regel in Rishus HaRabim. You're chayav for regel only in Rosh Hashanah Nizik. So even though, yes, the shor has the permission to go walking around in the public domain, the shor doesn't have permission to go walking around in somebody else's private property. It says Tosfos, when we talk about regel, we're talking about chatzi nezek tsroros. We're talking about a situation where the shor is walking in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, kicks up some pebbles, the pebbles damage somebody in his Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So you're going to be chayav for that damage, even though the shor was walking with permission in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, says Tosfos. So flipping now to Vavam Abayz, shor yochiach. So shor can prove, because the shor has permission to walk in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because everybody has permission to utilize Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And nonetheless, if the shor causes damage, you are going to be, the Baal HaShor is going to be chayav. It says the Gemara, "My l'shor shekain darko leila chalahazik." But what about a shor? The shor's derech is to walk. These things, once they're in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, they're just stationary. Bar tochiach, yeah, but a bar doesn't move. V'chazur adin, and from the tzad hashava of shor and bar, we're going to learn that you're chayav even for the rainwater or even for the septic tank that you empty in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. The fourth and final pshat, Ravina Amar la suye hadithnan. Ravina says it comes to include the following: Hakotel va'ilan shenaflu. If you have a wall or a tree that fell in Rosh Hashanah Rabim veziko and causes damage there, pater milishalem, you're going to be pater to pay, because it's not your fault that the wall fell down. Nosnu lozman lixos. If the basin, however, gave you a certain time period within which you had to cut down the tree, lixos as a ilam, blister as a kotel, or to tear down the wall, because they knew that it was a rotting tree and it was a rotting wall, they knew that it might cause damage, and they gave you a certain time period to go get rid of your property. Venuflu betochazman, and venuflu, and they fell. Betochazman veziko potter. If they fell within the time period based and set for you, then you're going to be putter. For example, if Basin said, you got to get rid of this wall within 30 days, and within 30 days the wall fell, you're not going to be chayav, because Basin gave you 30 days, and the 30 days hasn't yet come and gone. La'achar zman, chayav. However, la'achar zman, if they fell after the 30 days, then you are going to be chayav. The Torah's Chayim says that the only time you're Chayiv only if Beis Din commanded you to remove the item and you waited after the time period set by Beis Din is if it's not apparent to you that it's going to fall. Obviously, if it's apparent to anybody that it's a rotten tree or it's a very weak wall that's going to fall, then you have to get rid of it right away. But says the Gemara, but Eicha Dami, what type of damage are we talking about here even? Ida Afkare, if this pile of rubble fell into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and you were mafkarit, so bein l'rabin l'shmol haine bar. According to Rav and Shmuel, that's bar, so I don't need to learn it from a tzad hashava. Says the Gemara, no, maishna bar dezeka matzui, but what's the difference? That bar is hezeka matzui, ushmi rasan alech. In other words, bar is, the damage is common, and you have to watch it. Haninami ezeka matzui shmirasan alecha. So too, over here, the damage is common. If it's a rotten wall and it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, the damage is common, and you're obligated to watch it. Rashi just points out that the Gemara pulled a fast one on us, because right now the Gemara just said that bar is hezeka matzui. So if we've been paying attention the past couple of days, generally when the Gemara says hezeka matzui, it says it in reference to regel. That when a shor walks around, the shor is walking, so it always does damage. Over here, all of a sudden, the bar is the one who does damage. So Rashi says, yeah, in other words, it's not quite as common as damage caused by an ox, but if there's a pit in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, one would assume that animals or something else is going to fall into the pit, and therefore it is a common form of damage. So says the Gemara, but idolo afkarinu, if you were not mafkir, if you were mafkarit, it's like bar, so I don't need a tzad hashaveh. If you weren't mafkarit, l'shmul demar kulami bar lamanu, Shmuel is the one who says that everything is like bar, whether you were mafkarit or not, hainu bar, again, that's the case of bar itself. I don't need to learn it through a tzad hashaveh. Says the Gemara, liolam dafkarinu. No, really, I was mafkarit. V'lo dami labar, and it's not like a bar. Why? Ma labar shekein tchilas asiyasa lenezik. Tamarbani shein tchilas asiyasa lenezik. That unlike by a pit, from its inception, from the time somebody dug the pit, it was there to cause damage. That is not the case here, where again, the damage was caused by a wall that fell, by a tree that fell. So when the tree was planted, when the wall was built, it wasn't due to cause damage. It was a very strong wall. It was a very strong tree that was going to stand upright. It's only after years that it rotted and then it ultimately fell that it caused damage. So shor yuchiach. So the shor should prove that you're chayiv, even though the shor is not tchilas asiyas and lahezik. But marla shor shakein darko leilach lahezik. But the shor is on the move. Unlike by a bar, which is not on the move. So through its arashava of shor and bar, we're going to learn that the... The Chazur Adin, so Bar Yochiach V'Chazur Adin. So from the Tzad HaShava of Sharon Bar, we're going to learn that if your tree or your wall was rotten and fell down and did damage in Rosh Hashanah Rambim, you are going to be chayev for that. There is a Tosfos which is found in Vav Aleph. We don't have time to look into inside. Tosfos reinterprets. This situation, this fact pattern, to be talking about a case where the wall causes damage while it's falling, even though then it's not quite like bar, because bar doesn't move. But that's the way Tosfos wants to interpret. That's the way Tosfos wants to interpret the case. The Rush says that these mandiyamrim don't necessarily argue with each other. In other words, there were four things that we could have learned from Etzad HaShaveh, and these mandiyamrim don't necessarily argue with each other, that they come to add on each other. Now, there's also a lively debate in the Rishonim if we're going to learn from Etzad HaShaveh. So certain of these things, they have stringencies, but they also have leniencies. For example, by a bar, you're not chayav for kalim. By an Eish, you're not chayav for Taman. So if you're going to learn from Etzad HaShaveh, from Bor and Eish, will we say, oh, it can't be more stringent than Bor and Eish. So if I'm learning something from Etzad HaShaveh, from Bor and Eish, then I'm not going to be chayav for Kalim, and I'm not going to be chayav for Taman either. Or am I going to apply the leniency that applies only to the thing which is more like it? Or do I apply the leniencies that apply to both? That's a debate in the Rishonim. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter at the two dots. Kshehizik chav amazik. When they do damage, the mazik is chav. So says the Gemara, chav amazik, chayv amazik mi boile. Why do we learn? Why do we say chav? It should say chayav. In other words, chayav means obligated. Chav points out Tosfos is like zochin la adam shalom b'fanav ein chavin la adam el b'fanav. Chavin means you cause somebody else. You do something to the detriment of somebody else. But over here, what the Mishnah means to say is that when they do damage, you are obligated. It should say chayav. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Hi Tana, Yerushalmi Yehuda Tani Lishna Kalila. This Tana is from Yerushalayim, and just like the Talmud Yerushalmi, which often speaks in shorthand, so too he's speaking in shorthand. In other words, when he says Chav, really he means Chayav. Chav is shorter than Chayav, so he's speaking in shorthand. Okay, L'tashlumei Nezek. L'shalim Tashlumei Nezek. So Vayter in the Gemara, so they are obligated to pay Tashlumei Nezek. So Tana Rabbanan. Metav sadeyu umetav karmo yishalem. So your ox walks into somebody else's field, does damage. The damager has to pay the damaged party mimetav sadehu umetav karmo. Whose field are we talking about? So this is the problem when you don't use the specific pronoun. So mimetav sadeyu shal nizik umetav karmo shal nizik. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, well, you have to pay him in accordance with the best produce of the Nizik's field. Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Ba Kosev Ela Ligvos LeNizak Emen Eidus V'Kal V'Chomer LeHektish. No, says Rabbi Kiva that this is coming to impose a stringency on the Mazik, and certainly by Hektish, whatever that means, we're going to see tomorrow, so forget about that for now. But the point is, Rabbi Kiva says that when the Pasuk says Meitav Sadeh Meitav Karmo, it means that the Mazik has to pay from the best of his field, not from the best of the Nizik's field. So Rabbi Yishmael, but according to Rabbi Yishmael, so the Gemara misunderstands what Rabbi Yishmael means. The Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yishmael means that no matter what you damage, you need to pay mimetav sadeh, that you have to pay from the best of the Nizik's field. Rabbi Yishmael, achal shmeina mashalim shmeina, achal klusha mashalim shmeina. According to Rabbi Yishmael, if you damage if you damage the choicest part of the Nizik's field, you have to pay from the choicest part. But if you damage the weakest part of the Nizik's field, you're still going to have to pay with the choicest part of his field. I always pay from the Edis of the Nizik. He ate a roe, but in that part of the field, there were good roes and bad roes, and I don't know what he ate. So the Mishalim Shmeina, that he has to pay from the best produce. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't make any sense. Amar Rava, Uma Ilo Yadana Dekusha Achal Lo Mishalim Elakusha. But if I knew that he ate only a bad row, then he would only have to pay him with a bad row. Hashad Lo Yadin in Ikusha Achal Lishmeina Achal Mishalim Shmeina. Now that I don't know what he ate, I'm going to force the damager to pay from the best produce of the damaged party. Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. Isn't the din Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya? Why is the damaged party all of a sudden immediately entitled to get from the best? No, the edis of the nizik, the best produce of the nizik, was like the ziburis, was like the worst produce of the mazik. Uvahapligi. Rabbi Shmuel samar b'denizik shaminan. Rabbi Kiva samar b'demazik shaminan. So Rabbi Shmuel says that we evaluate based on the field of the nizik. And Rabbi Kiva says we evaluate based on the field of the mazik. Meaning, the way Rashi explains it is that you're paying with money. The question is, where are you sourcing that money from? In other words, instead of giving him money, you're not paying with money, but you're paying a certain value. The question is, where are you sourcing that value from? Are you paying with the best field in accordance with the Nizik standard, or are you paying with the best field in accordance with the Mazik standard? But either way, if you did $100 worth of damage, you're only paying $100. The only question is, whose land are you sourcing the $100 from? We'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow explaining the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Everybody has a wonderful day.